So another great soul who I only know about through the grapevine, so to speak. That means by word of mouth. I don't really know her personally. That's my god sister, one of my god sisters from America, who also sent me an email. This is Nataka Chandrika Dasi. So she sent a query in regard to the essay I just published on the internet called Guru Devis and Grandmothers, which is in regard to the desire of some of the grandmother age members of our movement, ladies, who are interested to be Guru Devis. So my point was, and I've made this point previously also, is that if we are to establish Varnashram Dharma, as Srila Prabhupada spoke so much about, then it's probably better that the Matajis take the role, the traditional roles of Matajis, and be gurus in that way, in the way that Shastra ordains for them. By the first guru is the mother, so looking after the children, looking after the home, and in this way, stable families means there have to be responsible husbands, men acting like men, women acting like women, and then stable, committed families, for husband and wife, committed to each other. And then they can build the building blocks of stable communities, which, that's the meaning. That's, without that, there's no Varnashram. It's not just a set of rules and regulations. So that was the gist of that article. She wrote, in your much appreciated Guru Devis and Grandmothers article, you mentioned the importance of stable families and stable communities. Having taught in ISKCON schools for almost 30 years, you see? Who's making big propaganda? So, great devotee, 30 years teaching in ISKCON schools. It's no small thing, is it? I have seen firsthand the effects on children who come from unstable, split families. Most, if not all of these children, are at a disadvantage and many suffer emotional issues like lack of self-esteem, etc. As teachers, we find that unless these issues are addressed, it is very hard to teach the child anything. So we try our best to work with the parent, parenthesis S, close parenthesis, because in many cases only one parent within the horizon. The other is not seen. We work with the parent to get them to see the connection between meeting their child's needs and their child's future stability. The problem is many of these young devotee parents do not know what is a normal, stable home, as it was not modeled for them. Once I tried to organize a group of older exemplary ladies who might be willing to meet regularly with the younger generation of mothers. Almost all of the elder ladies concluded that would not be practical, since many of the younger mothers work, do not have time, etc., and that the best thing we can do for them is to preach by example. Personally, I am worried about the future of our grihasthas if this training is not given somehow. How should those of us who believe in the value of nurturing our children and executing our roles as chaste wives and mothers promote the idea to the next generation? Very pertinent query. It's relatively easy to say, start Varnashram. Actually doing it is not so easy, considering that the whole society is so far away from that, and that, as I just said, we need to have stable husbands and wives who can make stable families, which can make stable communities. But to have stable husbands and wives, we first of all need people who are stable in their own psychology and mentality, which is, particularly in the West, quite unusual, actually. Because the whole civilization is built on the individual, rather than the rights of the individual, and even if a child is raised in a family with the same parents throughout their life, by the age of 18, they usually have left home already, or if they're still at home, they usually get kicked out by their parents. You say, "Well, I looked after you long enough, you know, get out of here." Which is very different to what we used to find in India, at least. But that's changing also, because it's becoming westernized. I was in Bangalore a few years ago in a hospital, and I was speaking to a doctor. He said, "Well, they're just this son of the mother just left her here and said, 'I can't wait all so much time. You just operate her and I'll come back later.'" "You do what's ever necessary. I'll give you the money, but I have to go." Like that. He couldn't stay with his mother. Was she? And then the doctor said, "Well, wait a minute. He's gone." So the doctor himself was complaining to me that it's quite normal, and that in people just come in, drop their old parents and tell them, "Do whatever you have to do. We'll pay you whatever it is, but just do it." They don't. Whereas it was fairly common, maybe still, that some relative would always stay with, especially with elderly parents, they'll stay with them in the hospital, sleep on the floor next to them, and do everything for them. I actually saw that in America a few years ago, actually. One of our devotees, Mahabhagavata Mataji, do you know her at all? Maybe you don't know her. Kshetragya Prabhu is her husband. So she was nursing her elderly mother. I mean, she herself is like 70 years old, and her mother's 90-something. And her mother just lies on the bed all the time and sometimes speaks incoherently. But Mahabhagavat just looks after her. She actually gets paid by the state for doing so. But most people would, because it's cheaper for the state to pay her than to take the old mother. But still, Mahabhagavat has to be home all the time, and it's a 24-hour job. It's like looking after a child. But so I'm digressing a bit here. So that family atmosphere of selflessness and parents wanting to look after the children, just like yesterday. I was speaking with one disciple who was telling me in the divorce court, or whatever they call it, the judge or the magistrate was saying to his wife, "Why don't you just patch up just for the sake of your child?" And she didn't want to hear it. She wants to, of course, I was only hearing his side of the story, but she wants money out of him. She's not thinking about how the child needs a father. We talk about the rights of people. What about the rights of children to grow up with a father and mother? What about that? They talk about the right of everyone to divorce, and the right of this and the right of that. But what about the right of children to grow up with a stable family? Jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you for your lifetime service. And you can be grateful also. So we're trying to preach these principles to people who are trying to be devotees, but culturally and psychologically they are very badly damaged. And just like the parent, the one parent, usually it's the mother, they're out working to support their child, and they don't have time to look after the children. And the children, they feel that also. I spoke about this before, latchkey children. It means they have a key and they come back to the apartment and they open when they come home from school, and they open and there's no one there. that they have the key, that's all. So home is not really a home. So they grow up like that, and then, actually I grew up like that, latchkey. And unhappy childhood, you could say. I mean, definitely, in many ways it was. I don't want to come blame my parents, because the world is what it is. But I really saw and understood what family culture is when I was traveling in Bangladesh, because we would stay in people's homes. And family there meant family, still does. Big family. And in the village, all the kids would be running here and there, in and out of different homes, and the whole village was like a family. And there'd be arguments and fights among them also, but well, that also happens in families, but still it's a family. So what to do? I mean, this Devamrit Maharaj, he gave a whole seminar on preaching in the modern world, in which he said that most of the people who are preaching to, they want to be devotees, but they're psychologically and even physically in such bad shape, even physically, because people grow up eating junk food, and then they start having sex as even before they're even before they're ready to at all, and then they, so many intoxications, legal and illegal, they're taking, and they live such a wild life style. And then even they may be born with various things. They may have, just like this, what's it called? Autistic children. So that's quite common now. And one theory is that that's because the mothers have so much poison in their bodies that the children's psychology is affected by that. So people are psychologically seriously damaged, and physically also. So he was discussing about that. What to do? Well, what to do? What to do? Go on preaching. In this regard, I'd just like to read a pertinent Hare Krishna. Oh, pertinent section from the transcription of Srila Prabhupada's conversations. It's conversation in France, in Paris, which is well known as being a center of sense enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada commented on that. He said, in this country or city, when he went there, he said, the two main things are wine and women. So France is very famous for these two things. It used to be that France had a very loose culture. It means sexually loose. It was a normal thing that men would, apart from their wife, they'd have some extra girlfriend. So it used to be known as very loose. Not nowadays, because that's become the culture everywhere. So anyway, translator, that's probably Yogeshwar Prabhu. She, this is speaking of Mrs., I don't know how to pronounce it in French, looks like Marchand in English, but I'm sure it's pronounced differently in French. Translator, she wants to know if it is recommended that a woman should become a sannyasi. Prabhupada, women should stay under the father, under the husband, and under the elderly sons. Nothing more. Therefore, it is the duty of the father to give her in charge of a young man when she is young. This is Vedic culture. Translator, she's asking, what should a woman do if she is alone? Prabhupada, she cannot be alone. And Prabhupada quotes something, but it's not clear what it is. Women should not be allowed, just like children. Children cannot be alone. That must be taken care of. Similarly, a woman in childhood should be taken care of by the father. When she's young, she should be taken care of by the husband. And when she's old, she should be taken care of by elderly sons. You'll find in the Vedic literature the father's responsibility is until she's handed over to a suitable young man, And the husband's responsibility is so long she hasn't got elderly children. At that time she has got elderly children, he can leave home and take sannyas. So the process is a woman is kept under protection always. There is no independence for women. That is still in India, it is going on. The father is obliged to find out a suitable husband for the daughter and give her in his charge. Then his responsibility is finished. Until that, he is responsible to take care of the daughter, unmarried girl to remain always under the protection of the father. So Srila Prabhupada speaking, the ideal. And then, it says Yogeshwar, that's... And then Yogeshwar comes in with the practical reality. But today there seem to be so few qualified husbands. So I'm relating to this to what Natak Chandrika Mataji is saying. That we're talking of the ideal, we're aiming at the ideal, but the reality that we're dealing with is a long way from that. So Srila Prabhupada replies, because you do not train the boys to be qualified, you train them to become debauched. You know what that means? Debauched means vyabhichari. What can be done? You train them from brahmachari, then they'll be responsible husbands. Both the girls and the boys should be trained up. Then they'll be responsible husband and wife and live peacefully. In their young days, if you give them freedom, they'll spoil. What can be done? Young, youthful days, if you give them full freedom, they'll be misguided and spoiled. Translator, she's asking that since in these Western countries the families are so broken up, that's the point that Mataji Natak Chandrika is making, and the women sometimes cannot find a qualified husband, what should she do? Prabhupada doesn't really directly answer that. He says that here is the society. You train them. You have got all children. You train them in that way. Whatever is done is done. Now you can make a very good society, Krishna conscious society. Not that our mistake has been done. You should continue. Rectify it. So Srila Prabhupada doesn't really answer directly what should be the question about what should be done about the present situation. But he says to train the children to make the future situation better. But Natak Chandrika Mataji, who has 30 years of experience in teaching in ISKCON schools, is saying that even the children are in such bad shape that it's very difficult to train them. So what to do? Well, there are different things you can do. One thing you can do is just give up altogether. But that won't help anyone. And the other is just to keep on trying. Doesn't sound very hopeful. But there is hope. And the hope is the holy name of Krishna. What is that verse? Nam hoite hoi sarva jagata nishta. What's the first line of that? Kali kale nama rupe Krishna avata nam hoite hoi sarva jagata nishta. In the age of Kali, Krishna's avatar is in the form of his holy name, and by the holy name the whole world can be delivered. So he might say, well, that's just pie in the sky. That doesn't sound very realistic. But then it wasn't very realistic, didn't seem very realistic that Krishna consciousness would spread all over the world. But Prabhupada made it a reality because of his faith in the holy name and the blessings of his guru. And he had to struggle. It wasn't that he just went to America and said, Hari Bol, everyone, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? And everyone said, okay, that's great. It wasn't like that at all. Srila Prabhupada had to give us Krishna consciousness. He had to put up with so many difficulties, all kinds of things. It wasn't that all his disciples were just completely submissive, and even as Srila Prabhupada was to find out that, well, I'm sure he'd seen that in India also with his godbrother's disciples, and That is not just that, well, if the guru tells something and then the disciple says, well, okay, and just follows. And many disciples, even if they have a desire to do so, the weakness is also there, so they may not follow. Or there may be just outright defiance. So Srila Prabhupada struggled throughout his life, but he went on with great faith in the holy name of Krishna. And he was, by the mercy of Krishna, conveyed through the Guru Parampara, by the mercy of the holy name, he was able to make a significant difference in the spiritual life of the world. He brought Krishna to the world, and he said that 50% of his work to do is there in spread in establishing Varnashram, which seems almost impossible. And it seems to be getting more difficult as time goes on, because each generation is becoming more disturbed. That's the main symptom of Kali Yuga, Upadruta. And the main symptom of Kali Yuga is that people's minds are always disturbed. And they're becoming more disturbed. But what can we do but keep on trying? It might be that I don't want to say what Nartak Chandrika Mataji is thinking, but it might be that she looks back and sees that, well, I spent so much time teaching and we didn't really make much progress. But even if there is no progress, the fact that she tried is her own success. As Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of Jatayu was not able to stop Ravana, but that he tried was his success. And actually, if he hadn't done that, then well, Ram wouldn't have got information that Ram found him. And, well, I guess Jatayu could have just not attacked Ravana and told Rama that Ravana's gone away. But as a devotee, he tried to stop Ravana. And he was unsuccessful in stopping Ravana. But he got the full mercy of Rama and gave the information to Rama. Otherwise, Rama wouldn't have known, taking the role of a human being. He wouldn't have known, and Sita would have just been gone, and it would have been more difficult to find him, find Ravana. So that's one consideration. Another consideration is something I had a realization of many years ago, is that sometimes when we're trying to preach, we may think we're not really having any effect. Here in India today, you probably don't see that, because you see the effect. You see people like to take up Krishna consciousness. Our movement is, at the moment, well respected and well accepted. Although it wasn't like that when we first came to India. There's a lot of struggle. There still is struggle. But a lot of people are very distrustful of us, thought we were just some stupid people, and so on. But in the West, in the early days, it was a very great struggle in many ways. My own experiences in Bangladesh in the late 1970s and early 1980s, and in Thailand. So it was very difficult. It didn't seem like we were getting anywhere, although now in Bangladesh has developed into, in some ways, one of the best, well, in many ways, one of the best preaching fields in the world. So many people are taking up Krishna consciousness, following the regulated principles, becoming initiated, which was, in those days, beyond our imagination. We couldn't even, it was difficult. It was rare to convince even anyone to give up eating fish. And Thailand was like a really tough to make any progress. But gradually I got to realize that any preaching, it does have a cumulative effect, and some people take up Krishna consciousness, even people you don't expect, they come through in the end. I really had that experience strongly. One time I was in Burma, I went to some town, Tongji. I think it was the first time. No, maybe someone had been there before. Or maybe it was the first or second time an ISKCON member had been there. So I went there and I did a little tiny program with a few people. At that time I didn't speak Hindi. And it was a Hindi-speaking area. And I think there was no one to translate. So I did whatever. I spoke the best I could, knowing some Bengali and trying to throw in a few haze and maize and this and that. And there was one man there who spoke English, and I spoke to him, and he really didn't seem to have that much interest, but he just spoke to me. I spoke to him anyway. So I left him a volume of, I was reading a volume of Bhagavatam, and he took that in. But he read, that's the only English book I had with me. So eventually, not long after that, actually, a few years later, he thought, well, now I have to retire and take sannyas. Says in the book, what we just read here also. Not aiming this particular at you, I'm just saying this. So, although Prabhupada does quote elsewhere that you can also be a Vanaprastha. So that's there also. Don't want to scare you all too much. Actually, it's good to scare people. So he thought, okay, well, now I'm old enough and I should take sannyas. So, and he started following everything in the books. And he wanted to take sannyas because he didn't know about ISKCON, that you have to, you know, go through all these procedures and this and that. And so he was going to be initiated and everything, but then he died. Anyway, he wasn't that old, but it just struck me when I heard all that I went there and I thought that nothing was happening, but actually someone took up Krishna consciousness. Someone else, another occasion, had been to some village and I was preaching to someone, to why don't you take up Krishna consciousness seriously? Some of the only person in the area for miles around who spoke any English. At that time, I didn't speak any Bengali. And eventually he did. And he's been preaching Krishna consciousness all over Bangladesh ever since. It's Krishna Kirtan. It's one of the most dedicated preachers in our movement for many years, and really a very sweet kirtaniya. So the point I'm making here is that you never know. It might be that the kids who seem to be completely useless, by the mercy of Krishna and the holy name, and by your mercy on them, in your sincere desire to benefit them, you don't know, at some point they may just get it. We don't know. Preaching is always auspicious. So I would say go on doing what you can. But it is also required that apart from the sincere efforts of devotees like Nartak Chandrika Mataji, who's doing clearly the very best she can, it's also required that we as a society take up the Varnashram mission and do it cooperatively and conjointly. Otherwise, it's not going to happen by individual efforts. It might happen in some small ways here and there, just like at Hebri, the Bhakti Raghav Maharaj is starting something. And that can gradually grow. But if it's really to based around himself and the devotees who are with him, and there are a few other projects here and there, but really as a society, we have to consider these issues very seriously if we are to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's order. And encourage men and women, and encourage them and train them to be good husbands and good wives and responsible parents, and it's something in the West which is went out of fashion a couple of generations ago. But now in this regard, there is also submission by another disciple of Srila Prabhupada who has been preaching Krishna consciousness in America for many years, Shikhi Mahiti. Do you know him? You've been living in India all the time. You know him? No. So I just met him recently at New Talavan, where he had come to nurse his old, well, the devotee who helped him when he first joined the movement. So he was dying, and now he's died. He's gone to Krishna. That is, what is his name now? I just came up. As our own society, devotees' society, to have any better cultural values. And then we can't, it becomes very difficult to train devotees as devotees or the children of devotees as devotees if they're completely psychologically messed up because they feel that no one really cares for them. As you can imagine, if their father, they never see them, they see the father, and the mother is working all day, so she doesn't have time for her children, even though she may have the best of intentions. So, it may sound like a good idea to go along with the present society, but better is to make a better alternative, isn't it? And show a better way of life. So I'm told the religions that are growing most in America are Mormons, Roman Catholics, and Pentecostalists. And they're all strong on traditional values. Because people don't really need a religion that tells them or doesn't tell them anything. They want people take to religion because they want to get a better way of life. They feel their life is not in order, and they want to get a better way of life. So it may be that some people, if we say, in Mormons, actually it might be in 3 or 4 days' time that the president of America is a Mormon. And the Mormons are very traditional in the sense that they only have men in positions of authority within their society. And the Roman Catholic Church is like that also. So, some people might hate that and say, hate misogynist and all this kind of thing. But it shouldn't be impossible to preach to people and tell them that we are like this because of this. And actually there is a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Hari Shori, where they're discussing how there's this big court case in America in 1977, brainwashing, Hari Krishna is brainwashing, and very bad publicity against movement. But Prabhupada said, you preach and tell them what our position is. He said, the devotees, they wanted to go in court with suit and tie and grow their hair. Prabhupada said, no, go with your dhoti and tilak and shaved head and tell them, this is our position. Your position, and I won't say it, Prabhupada told his disciple to say it in the court, but I won't say it here, what Prabhupada said to say, because it's true, but it's so graphic that I don't want to say it in the presence of women. You can look it up if you want in the Veda base, but I don't think the devotee, he didn't repeat it, and is a very, I mean, Prabhupada, he was very, very strong on modern society, how degraded it is. He said, preach what our philosophy is. We are like this because of this. So we should be able to preach. It's not such a difficult thing for people to understand. That according, God has given different bodies. There's a male body which has a certain function, a female body that has a certain function. Motherhood is not just a biological activity, but the mother has to be there for the children, to look after them, to cook for them. The father has to be there, as a authority figure. So this is the this is why we have it like this. And gradually, people are realizing. At least there is, how to put it, feminism, or the idea that men and women should be have equal social roles, is on the way down. It's peaked in America, seeing the adverse effects of that. So the idea that we should just adopt the values of a modern of the modern society because it's easier to integrate with it, I don't agree with that. It's more difficult to go against the flow, but it's better to follow Krishna's plan and Prabhupada's plan and establish a better society. That's my answer to that. So what to do, again, with kids who are really disturbed and parents who are really disturbed? Yeah, we got to do something. We should get together as a society and discuss these things. If we just accept that, well, it's just normal that people are so disturbed. But we should be able to improve the situation if we, as devotees, come together and see what we can do. Devamrit Maharaj in the West, he has a halfway house for devotees before they. If they're going to become full-time devotees, he has them, just like we have this base here. It's people get used to being in Krishna consciousness by being in the association of other aspiring devotees. So that's one approach. There may be others also. So I don't have a clear answer. What do you do with people who are, especially she's asking about the kids of devotees who themselves are in a very disturbed situation, and children are more disturbed. I don't have a clear answer. I'm just saying that we as a society have to be serious about executing Srila Prabhupada's clear order to establish Varnashram. And if we don't, then we'll always be in the situation of making new recruits from the public, some of who stay and some who don't. But if our own children don't become devotees, then we're not really succeeding, are we? The children of devotees don't want to be devotees. We're not really succeeding. Here in India, we find that many children of devotees do like to be devotees. India still has a supportive culture, but it's very good that Krishna consciousness is spreading very well in India now, but our success we'll have to see worldwide if we can really establish the movement in America, in all the countries of the world, including Africa, the Muslim world. There's a lot of work to do. Even here in India, we're mostly dealing with the urban middle class. There's only a very small section, if you consider there's the village people in India. They're also the urban lower class, you could say, and Muslims, huge section of the Indian population. I believe India's got the third largest Muslim population in the world. Number one must be Indonesia, number two Bangladesh, and I think three is India, ahead of Pakistan. Or maybe number two even, I'm not sure. Whatever it is, it's a lot of Muslims. They're all spirit souls and they can all be benefited by Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, he might not even say that we have to convert them or any such thing. He would say, if you want to be a Muslim, then be a proper Muslim. Be serious about it. He would preach like that. He didn't say that we have to convert everyone. But he would encourage they should chant the holy name and follow their principles very seriously. Of course, the cow-killing question, that's a very big divide between Hindus and Muslims. Not that we want to fully identify ourselves with Hindus. Anyway, Hare Krishna. There are a few thoughts there. And what do you think about all that, being a young woman growing up, I'm speaking, I don't know your name, growing up in modern India, devotee parents, devotee.
His name is Madhavi.
Madhavi. Madhavi. Oh, yeah. Rukmini told me she's coming down for your wedding. When is that?
January
27th, the day after Republic Day. Is that a weekend?
Yeah.
I see, so you get 3 days altogether. If you'd have a 3-day wedding, that would still be shorter than they used to be. Nowadays it's 3 hours.
She's going in for a short one, a drive-through
wedding. Drive-through wedding.
Short ceremony, that's her preference.
Well, I mean, if you want to, you can. Say what you want to say. I'm not forcing you to. Anyone else? Any comments?
You boys, what is your experience in a Krishna conscious household?
Normal?
Yeah, they don't know anything else. It's like Prince Charles was asked, what is it like to be the Prince Charles? He said, well, I don't know anything else. For me, it's just normal. It's a different situation to anyone else, but for him it's just the way things are. But you are very fortunate, even materially. A lot of, I know you don't like being called kids, but from my perspective you are kids. Most kids growing up today, they don't, even in India, they don't, I don't think they'll get the same kind of parental care that you do. You've had. You grew up in the country, right? That's nice. Then you get to see more of your parents because there's no place to run off to here. You must have come into the town time to time for business and this and that, but you were there.
Oh, yeah, but basically made Krishna consciousness the main work, like Prabhupada describes his father.
Right,
his
yeah.
His puja. You go to work, he's doing his puja. But mostly he was doing puja.
Yeah.
So I noted that early on. So he made a lot of tremendous points. He's coming from the West also, broken home.
He's coming here in India. This devotee told me, I'll just interject here. One devotee told me he's in the middle of it's a long, grueling and bitter divorce. And he told me this from his group of friends, they're all like him in as much as they're all principled young men. I mean, they're not meat eaters, they don't drink, they don't smoke, and they all come from what you could call good homes and this and that. And they're not wife beaters or any such thing. But he said out of the group of 11 or 13 of them, 4 of them are either divorced or going through divorces. It's just normal nowadays. Please continue. Yeah, it's the influence of modern life. It's horrible.
I mean, the saving grace for me in my life was that, of course, the Srila Prabhupada and reading his books.
Reading Prabhupada's books. Yeah, I remember you told me.
That was what saved me.
You just read and you do a lot of reading, yeah.
Then what you try to do, I guess, is that you have to go for I would say, you know, go for the rhinoceros. If you're going hunting, go for a rhinoceros. Because if you don't get it, no one will think you would have gotten it anyway. Mm. Always go for the bullseye. So, coming from the West where the family, coming from a broken home too, the whole family structure, it was like very painful, you know. And you were somewhat damaged from that, obviously. Children are very affected by that. Hard to put that back together. But seeing the ideal and being introduced it by a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, you try to live it. You have to make the commitment. I think one of the things that we see in the beginning of the movement was that we weren't so advanced, and there was a lot of fanatical understandings of what was Maya and what was Krishna conscious. And there wasn't any emphasis put on the Grihastha Ashram.
Still not.
Still, it was all it's Maya. But Prabhupada made the point from reading, these sannyasis, the renunciates, they want nice brahmacharis, but they're not going to fall from the sky. They're going to come from good families. Prabhupada makes that
right. We just read that the other day, right? That's in the Prayanal Payasha Sabya verse. Prabhupada writes about that. good brahmacharis make good grihastas. And then they make good vanaprastas and sannyasis.
And another thing is, a lot of times, because the materialistic conception of life is very strong in the world, we all want to be the big man. This is because we leave the spiritual world to become the master.
Mm.
And we have what's called big name devotee. That was going on at least in the 70s. I don't know if it's still going on. But this is the opposite of what we need to cultivate is that Krishna consciousness, like you said, it comes to build the building blocks of society, of varnashram, our family life. It's not Maya. We were all born in a family. Maybe our family life is Maya. So therefore, you know, we want to make everything else zero. It's kind of the impersonalist, maybe, mentality that we have in the West. Some of these conceptions have to be sorted out, and we have to progress culturally as well as institutionally. I've talked to a lot of godbrothers who've been in the temple so many years. I've been outside for 35 years. And he goes, well, Jagannath, you know, you're kind of a cultural devotee. They say, well, I'm an institutional devotee. And it's, they appreciate it because you, it's a different perspective. It's a reality. It's not Maya. We have to go through so many phases of varnashram actually to gradually come to the point of developing pure love of God. And although it's definitely not prestigious to be a grihasta in our society or spiritually, it is a necessary stepping stone to get to that
but
platform.
But prestige is not what we're after, right?
But we're not, we shouldn't be after that. But I'm saying that facetiously.
Yeah, I understand that.
But that's not really what we want. Knowledge means humility, as you said.
But there should be, it should be recognized and appreciated also. That people that there are families that can stay together happily in Krishna consciousness.
And it's not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's that dedication.
Yeah, I mean, your wife was such a naughty girl as a child, right? We all know about it. You heard all that on the Prabhupada memory videos? You heard about that? She, very naughty girl. Had a lot of association with Prabhupada, being very naughty.
I just want to say, all the points you made are very good. One point I want to bring up is in the world today, what's happened in the last few hundred years is that there's always wealthy people there. The world changed from a cooperative world, cooperative society, to a exploitative society.
And it's really, ownership. Really now.
And therefore, we all feel separated. It's divide and conquer. We don't come together like some of these Mormons. Or I see living in the Gums in India for 8 years. During harvest time, all the people come together and they help each other.
That's the way it has to be. Yeah.
They all help plant their rice. This is actually cooperative living. This is Varnashram. This is a stepping stone for Varnashram. In the West now, or even in the modern, in Mumbai now, in the cities, no one's going to help. But everyone is. Doesn't say hi, everyone's their own person. It's a individualized society. And this is due to the desire for wealth, desire for prestige. And it's the rich have separated society like that. That's why you had Kshatriyas in the Vedic society. They had the money, but it was cooperative. They had the land. Now everyone wants to own a piece of land. You can't own land anymore, basically. You have to be a very wealthy person to buy a little piece of land. Then you were given land by the Kshatriya, the land. He was the representative of God. He gave the land, and you gave back 25% of your earnings to him. As an idea for our society, Prabhupada wanted these farming communities very much. So you have two different types of people in our movement. We haven't really brought them together yet. You have the 1% living in the temple, and the 99% that are living out in the world right now that are very much struggling. But if you had some land, you have some communal farm for the renunciates. Then the rest of the land you give to grass. Okay, you take 1 acre and you give it 25%. And you're like, this is the cooperative.
Yeah.
Some of the, because when you have one of the problems.
Prabhupada wanted the farms, but it's very difficult to get together because first thing is how you can afford it. Actually, in America, the devotee is still buying 100 acres, 250 acres. If you get way out in Kentucky, like Adikati, he's bought 250 acres.
We already have
New Taliban. I was just there. So they have, I think, 1,000 acres or something. Which
a lot of us came from dysfunctional families, and we weren't able to then go ahead and make a properly functioning family in a community. It was always we've had our problems with doing that, with cooperating and getting along, and not thinking. thinking that you're Maya if you're going to get married and go through that stage of life. All these different, you know, kind of weird conceptions, conceptions we've had as we're maturing. I think, like this Natakachandra Mataji is saying, we have to see the tremendous damage is there if we don't come together as a society, which means, like Prabhupada said once, it's a very amazing quote also. Krishna consciousness means, and the spiritual means, Goda Vrindavan means, family, mothers and fathers, women and children, performing religious activities steeped in devotion. Sometimes I think that sometimes some of the Prabhus that are so much into just the renunciation side, they'll go to Maharloka, they won't go to Goloka. they won't be able to handle the activities that are going on there at the Gopis, Mother Yashoda, like that, as we're performing now. I think we have to have a more mature understanding.
Well, actually, who is it? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati or Prabhu? That the idea that you have to learn love in this world, and otherwise you can't love spiritually. That was being promoted by some sahajiyas in a very gross way. So he rejected. You can imagine exactly what I'm talking about. But
my experience having cows was that if you
having cows, it's such a central part of human life. Yeah.
So if you don't have a cow in your house, God is not in your house. That's in the south. They have that common saying like that. And if you can love a cow, you can easily love another human being. So these are some very basic things.
Very
that
basic
we've
points.
Forgotten that we don't think are important.
I have a proposal for you. Now that your kids, if you don't mind me saying so, are almost grown up, you can take this up, preaching about the necessity and value of stable families. It's required in India, it's required all over the world. Because in ISKCON it's just completely normal that devotees get married, they get divorced, and there's no stability. It's surprising actually how still there are some good people in America. I mean, it's not like it's completely wild and mad. I mean, you do see some nice people joining and nice children of devotees who are themselves parents now.
Even among the intellectuals, there are people realizing that this way of life is actually, you know, destructive. It's not, you know, the whole economic system, the whole world. It is bad. There are sane people that can understand.
Oh, there are plenty of people who are not in our movement who understand it's the whole society is completely exploitive and everything. The only thing is that we have the answers, but we're not bold enough to execute it. Yeah, it requires, just like Prabhupada, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, took a lot of personal sacrifice. So,
I think what you're saying is it takes some time. It's going to take a few generations, maybe, or it's...
Well, a few generations, that's what I hear sometimes when I raise this thing. But Prabhupada wanted it right
now.
Away. Prabhupada, yeah.
He's also possible.
It may not be exactly the pristine kind of life that Krishna lived in Vrindavan. Well, even there, in Vrindavan, there's so many disturbances all the time. In fact, that was the first line I ever read of Prabhupada's books. That Vrindavan is so nice, but the situation of the material world is so disturbed. Even when Krishna was present, there were so many demons coming and disturbing it all the time.
Household life is full of disturbances, but that suffering is actually good for Krishna consciousness. That's a suffering.
If you can take it like that and understand it like that, but then you have to have people reassuring you like that, which is why I suggest maybe you could take that up as the mission for both of them. I mean, if you go together and say, hey, look, we've been together since before you were all born, and we have kids, and this is what they're doing, and you can do it too. So that's required. And there's so many kids growing up. This Natak Mataji is speaking how they're very difficult to help because they don't trust anyone. That's what it is, because they don't feel loved by anyone. They don't trust anyone. And then from a young age, they're always going to be disturbed in the class, and it's very, very difficult to teach. You can't teach kids unless they really trust you, which is why I guess I never really learned anything at school academically, because I had no faith that anyone there really wanted to help me in any substantial way. It was just a job. The teachers had a job. That's all.
That's one of the things I think about, is that we actually have to care about the Vaishnavas. You have to care, genuinely care.
That's
about
it, yeah.
Them. Well, it's not a philosophy that we can just sit back. Prabhupada said it's not a spectator, an armchair philosophy.
No.
And the dividing line, we have to actually really care about people, and it's not Maya. I mean, we've been we were told that years ago, too. Having compassion for people in their ashram and gradually nurturing them and bringing them around and having a stable family.
Yeah,
life.
The personal touch.
Personal touch. It's not my, it's actually, Prabhupada was so personal. He remembered everybody's name. He was very personal, and that's why we became devotees, because Prabhupada had the love that we never got. Right? He gave us that love, and then we reciprocated.
Okay. Questions here also? Okay, it's getting a little late. Let's see if we can handle them quickly.
He's from Master Sikhu from South America. You mentioned important topics today. One, the implementation of Varnasrama and female bodied souls taking the position of Diksha Guru. Both are in regards to acting according to our nature. Are there viable parallels with those two situations?
So, what are the two situations mentioned?
Implementation
of Varnashram Dharma
and the female-bodied souls taking position of Diksha Guru.
Female-bodied souls taking the position of Diksha Guru. Yeah, and then? Are there parallels? Are there viable parallels to these two situations? That's the end of the question.
Are there viable parallels with those two situations?
I don't understand what the question is.
Maybe I can ask you.
Is that the only question, though?
How do we, people interested in implementing such standards, convince those parents interested in catering their kids with PC games and other gadgets?
Oh, how do we as parents implementing such standards do so, or convince the parents who
interested
in playing PC games or
interested in catering their kids?
Catering to their kids for that.
It seems an impossible task.
Seems an impossible task, yeah. Well, I would suggest that those who are more birds of a feather flock together, maybe make communities with those who are more serious about this. One thing we're doing at this Avanti Ashram and at Karamandurai, these are two of the, and we that's supposed to happen in Yadgiri Guta, that on Nanda Gokulam, is to have no electricity. And then, no electricity, there are no PC games. It solves a lot of problems right off. And at least some devotees used to, I don't know if it's still like that, in Gita Nagari in America, they used to live without electricity. I know Jambavan, he used to live there for some time without electricity, which is pretty tough in the winter. It's cold and dark for a long time, but they did it out of, as a sense of principle. So, there's a suggestion. Live with those devotees who are very serious about it. And if there's no electricity, then, as Prabhupada recommended when he went to New Talava, he said, when devotees asked, well, how will you get light? And Prabhupada said, you grow castor plants and you take the oil and you make lamps like that. Other possible alternatives. Well, I know Jayatirtha Charan Prabhu, who lives on a farm in New Zealand, lived there for years. He told me that he has once a week TV session with his kids, and he himself chooses some kami movie, some comedy, family film, and they all watch it together. So maybe that's not the strictest standard, but that's what he does, or used to do. That's a possible alternative. I guess that's in the spirit of Prabhupada watching Charlie Chaplin films when he was a kid. And then did we get back from Rasa Rasika?
Acting according to our nature in relation to a female body soul. Female body souls acting as Iksagu, and does that fit into Varnasrama system?
Does women devotees being Diksha Gurus fit into the Varnashram system? I would say generally no, because being Guru is generally a male role. In as much as Shisha means Shashan, disciple means discipline. So the men have to, the men they're more disciplinary and women are more accommodating. They both have their role to play, but in the stage, traditionally in the stage of life where one is a disciple, that's in the Gurukul, that's the age for being disciplined. That Prabhupada used to quote Chanakya Pandit, Tarava, Tarava Bahavo Guna. It's very good to tarava, chastise the disciple. And lalayat bahava dosha, to indulge them is very bad. So there are various considerations about this also. I mean, we just read how Prabhupada said that woman has to be dependent or not independent. And, traditionally women look after children. One reason why society has changed and it's been possible for women to be independent is because of contraception, which allows there to be hamdo hamare do. Otherwise it was hamdo hamare jitne bhi ho. Allows for sexual indulgence without the natural product, which is children. So traditionally women are busy looking after children and grandmothers also. The mothers can't get by without the grandmothers. So that's another reason why family is very difficult in the modern age, when families means you're living in some little cramped up apartment with the kids. It's just husband, wife, both of whom are stressed out from working, and then there are kids who are also wild, and the kids, the TV's blaring, and it's just like a pressure cooker. And sometimes the lid blows off. In fact, a lot of the time it blows off. People come home from work and they're all stressed out from work, and they come home and they're already completely stressed out, and the mother comes home and she's also stressed out, and the kid's already there ahead of them because they get out from school early, and the kid's also stressed out. And just the dog's stressed out and everyone's stressed. It's not human life. This modern urban life is not civilization. You have to get away from that. But even in the country now, people are living with the same city culture. So it's a big job, but we have to do it for Prabhupada and for the world. So women Diksha Gurus, I don't think it's the need of the hour. Better they be set a good example as being... You can read that article, Guru Devis and Grandmothers. You can. It's on my website. It answers this question, actually. It's not completely banned, but it's not really the need of the hour. From the spiritual perspective, any living entity can give diksha to any other living entity. But generally, it's males who give, because who give initiation to men and women, because it's a social function also. I mean, as long as we're in this world, then there are social considerations also. So we'll finish there.
Maybe all the women who wants to serve and can't get any devotee husbands can get together and learn how to take care of children. Is that possible, Maharaj?
All the women who don't have husbands should get together and learn how to have children. Have children without husbands?
Who can't get any devotee husbands.
You can't get devotee husbands. Well, Prabhupada spoke of polygamy. And he said the reason for that is because there are more women than men, and then some women are renunciants, and so it's required that some men accept more than one wife. And then he said, but he was promoting this idea at one point, but then he said we shouldn't have it in our society because it's illegal and people think badly of it. And we don't want to promote it within our society. My understanding of this is that it can be done by devotees who are not within the institution. Like you're saying, you're not within the institution. And I don't think it's so bad that it will be considered so badly. Just like this Mormon, maybe a Mormon will be the, theoretically, or advertised as the most powerful person in the world in 3 days, because the election in America is in 2 days. And one of the candidates is a Mormon. If he doesn't get voted in as the president, he'll be, within about 3 weeks, he'll just be completely forgotten. But the Mormon religion started off as polygamous. They were promoting polygamy. Now they stopped that, although some of them still believe in it, but they're not allowed to do it by law. But some of them still do it quietly or privately or whatever. So... Again, I don't think it's, if some devotees do that, if they, for the sake of being merciful to women who want to be devotees and not getting devotee husbands, of course it may mix with some other desires, but even then, if men have other desires which are not so good, then it's better to, just like it's quite common, a man... Even a devotee divorces his wife and marries again. Well, better than that is to keep your wife and marry again, isn't it?
Prabhupada does make a point that a part of demoniac society, they've outlawed polygamy. Now, this is, I guess, a demoniac thing, but godly society should have
godly polygamy. Society should allow it, yeah.
There's only so many good husbands probably anyway, and wealthy men, probably this is the wealthier men, the upper class, they will take another wife. The lower class men will go to the prostitutes. Who were also there in society. In Dwarka there was prostitutes, the devotees of Krishna. So part of today we see in the world so much pornography and the sexual...
This pornography should be stopped.
All these things going on. It's so demoniac and hellish. Polygamy solves that problem. It's actually based in a godly society.
Well, yeah. Krishna was polygamous. Rama wasn't. But we can't say that it's completely wrong, saying that Krishna, and so many, Dasharat, all of the Pandavas had more than one wife. It wasn't that they're only married to Draupadi, she's the most famous, but they all had other wives. Yudhishthira, I don't remember if he had, but definitely Arjun, Bhima, they had other wives. So... That's the solution. We should introduce polygamy. It's revolutionary, but so is everything else.
One thought, if I may, on the
It's illegal, but it can be done on the side, so to speak, as Prabhupada recommended at one point. You just keep in, may not be legally married. And it's it, at least until recently in India, it was quite common. You still find men with more than one wife.
Okay, so one thing, an exception with the woman guru issue, we've seen historically that it was there. If a woman is has developed a static with Krishna, so
yeah. Prabhupada said about women gurus. Yeah, he said it's not normal, but maybe in exceptional cases.
If there were a static, is nearby. If someone's in a static with Krishna, why not? We all want to have that association.
Yeah. In exceptional cases, Prabhupada said. But I would say let's establish the norm first of all of
the norm, yeah.
let's establish the norm of women. When the norm is that women are mothers and children in a stable relationship through their life, when that norm is established, then we can think about the exception. But when the norm is that men and women, they just, you know, just come together, split up, and then we're not, first of all, we don't want to start making an, it's not an exception when it's even socially it's not an exception when the, at the present time. I think we should finish because it's getting quite late for us. We first take rest.
We can talk all night. So the devotees, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they'd stay up all night just talking to Krishna for that. We're not so elevated.
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. I'd like to get up in the morning.
One thing is, mothers, they're great devotees. They make their children pure devotees. They make their grandchildren pure devotees. That's also, you know, there's nothing. That's how
what
the system actually works.
Right, right.
It's an extraordinary case. She's so much love of God that you can't contain her. Okay. She can go out in the world and deliver thousands of people, but generally deliver.
Well, another thing with Janava is that her husband had left the world early. She was still quite young. So she, but normally women would be having children, right? So that was the case. Ganga Mata Goswamini was extremely austere. So she was also a guru. So there are some examples.
I guess we need to form the standard basic foundation has to be laid. That's the main requirement.
I feel that's more important than if women can show the example of women devotees can show the example of being good mothers and grandmothers, that's more required now than them being like sannyasis and traveling here and there.
One solution to this request is what about these older women who don't have families, right? There's so many families that are struggling to stay together.
That's a good idea.
A surrogate grandmother.
Surrogate grandmothers, yeah. Help family. The women,
give some love.
Women who they don't know what to do because they're older and they've got a lot of experience in Krishna consciousness, so let's travel around and preach. Well, you can become, as Jagannath Charan Prabhu has suggested, a surrogate grandmother. Adopt a family that needs a grandmother. Good suggestion. Or a few families. They could go to communities and be and help.
What a great service.
Help the young parents.
In a Krishna consciousness.
Yeah,
in
a Krishna conscious way.
Also handling the material situation expertly.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for coming.